In Chicago on this Friday afternoon, futures finished the day mostly higher. Wheat contracts were up 17 cents in the nearby May at 7.14 and three quarters on the settlement price. The July harvest month there at 7.19 and a half, up 16 and a quarter. The hard red in Kansas City finished the July at 7.59 and a quarter, up 12 and three quarters. And we're told the whole thing was led higher by the spring wheat in Minneapolis. So that May contract there was up 18 and a quarter at 8.07 and three quarters. The harvest month for the spring is at 8.05 and a quarter, and the December contract up 10 and three quarters. Corn pit back in Chicago from the CME Group, 6.58 and a half. A settlement price up 7 and a quarter. July at 6.41 and a quarter, up 7 and three quarters. And September at $5.77, a dime higher. December corn, the harvest month, $5.50, up 6 cents. March at $5.60 and a quarter, up 6 and a quarter. May beans, $14.13, a settlement price 11 higher. July up 11 as well at $13.79 and a quarter. August at $13.39 and a quarter, up 8 and a quarter. November beans at $12.31 and three quarters, 5 cents higher. January up 4 and three quarters. At 12.37 and three quarters. Bean meal futures at $400.20, up $5.20. Bean oil at $49.23, down 54. Live cattle futures finished the June at $120.75. That's a dime higher. May feeders down 85 at $140.92.5, and May lean hogs at $87.37.5, 2.5 cents lower. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Well, this is the Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason on this 12th day of April. On the phone line, Mike Zuzolo at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Wheat has come roaring into the marketplace, and it's pushed things higher, Mike.
We finally feel like Atlas can shrug, don't we, Todd? We can take a break here for a minute. Unfortunately, it comes at the expense of quite a bit of supply potentially lost in the hard red wheat belt. And it comes at the expense of quite a bit of spring wheat that probably will be dislodged as far as not getting planted and have to be substituted into some other type of crop. But the early word after the freeze, and wheat was a Johnny-come-lately type commodity this week. It finally kicked in this week with it actually making gains on the week just because of today's trade by itself. If July wheat had not gone up 16 and a quarter today, we probably would have closed negative on the week. We would have closed negative on the week, but the trade finally started to come around in both Europe and here in the United States about what type of potential damage we probably have seen due to the freeze. The other big news out there is that Wichita, Kansas, and pretty much all of western Kansas is looking at about 25-degree temperatures, and that's kind of the highest number that I could find, about 25-degree temperatures a week from today. So the trade's starting to really price in a tighter supply, and especially in the aftermath of the USDA supply-demand report.
Yeah, so put them all together and tell me what you think supply might look like if there is a substantial cut that comes in the hard red because of the freeze. And, of course, that will have to change maybe some acres there as it turns around, and you can fold that into either corn or beans, your choice. And then the same kind of weather conditions, cold, there's a lot of snow in the north, and they're not able to plant the spring wheat.
Yeah, I think what you're looking at just from my numbers right now, and these are probably going to go up based upon client conversations. I'm trying to be conservative at this point, Todd, waiting for this weekend to come about and to see exactly what we're going to lose again next week if we get cold. But Oklahoma, Kansas, Nebraska, probably going to be a total of around 50 to 90 million bushels of lost production. That's going to be a hit of about 8 to 13%. Those three states planted around 16.1 million acres. That's probably the low end of the number. So that puts you at a 2013-14 U.S. wheat carryover of 500 million bushels, maybe even below, depending on how USDA wants to play the export market and where the dollar sits 2, 3, 4 months from now. But it certainly, from a U.S. supply-demand perspective, you go 3 months out and you don't have any serious corn and bean planting delays, and you start to talk about harvest time period for the wheat, and you talk about the row crops getting a good foothold of growth, that puts wheat back in the leadership mindset.
Okay. Now, give me some reference on the 500 million. How does that contend with what normal or would be, or what pipeline might be or something along those lines?
That takes you down to about pipeline, especially given what type of export competition we're probably going to not face this year. India will probably have drawn down their supplies. China is trying to build their wheat reserves up. We're starting to get more information about that. You're talking about going from 700 to 850 million bushels in ending stocks that we've gotten kind of comfortable with this last 3 to 4 years, and essentially shaving 250 million, 300 million off of that. So it's pretty substantial. And it, like I told Dave this morning, I really think an 8 handle in front of the Kansas City wheat for the July contract and on out is probably pretty likely at this point, especially given that if we get another freeze next week.
Are you of the mind that those acres that don't make it, that might get torn up, will be planted to corn, primarily because nitrogen was likely applied to the wheat crop sometime over the winter months?
That's a good question. I think most of the guys are going to try at this stage to get what they can out of the wheat and go ahead and double crop beans in the hard red wheat belt. That's what they're saying right now, but mm-hmm. I think this could change in 7 days, and they could say, well, I've lost a much bigger percentage, so it's going to be torn up. Crop insurance is going to come in, and I'm going to plant, you know, maybe a milo or a corn. But I think in the northern plains in the spring wheat belt, given what we're seeing in temperatures, I mean, I'm looking at Bismarck, North Dakota, having an actual temperature of zero next week, and we're looking at 14 inches of snow this week coming in. I struggle to think that they'll be through their flooding and to get the ground dried out enough that they'll be able to get into corn. I'm thinking they're probably going to have to do an oil seed like a canola or like a soybean, because they just won't be able to get in underneath the pollination window on a short enough variety of corn.
All right, so now let's take the wheat crop, which will be short, in your opinion, at this point, may have an 8 handle on front of it. What does it do to corn over that same time frame if we have even a delayed start to the growing season?
I think it does very little other than support it. And, you know, I'm going to introduce the idea of Australia coming in here. Australia is probably going to be an extremely large issue to both the wheat market and the barley market. So it becomes an extremely large issue fundamentally to the corn as well as the wheat market. But when you look at Victoria wheat percent soil moisture right now, we're running at about 0% in that most of that province of Victoria. New South Wales, we're running at about 15% soil moisture in the wheat belt of New South Wales. You're talking about two-thirds of the wheat belt, essentially half to two-thirds of the wheat belt in Australia, running much lower than last year, much lower than normal. If this continues another month, then you not only have an issue with corn planting delays here in the United States and spring wheat planting delays here in the United States, but then you start talking about one of our biggest competitors on the Asian Rim, and you get to start thinking that the supply side of the equation in the wheat becomes nothing but supportive for the corn market, and that's where, you know, the turn in the mindset, in the sentiment, in the momentum of the grains as a whole, I think it puts wheat in the driver's seat.
Anything else before I let you go?
I think the big thing to watch is the soybean. The report was the most bullish for nearby soybeans, Todd, and the USDA reported 8.3 million bushels of stocks on their weekly Tuesday report this week. We had 28.2 last week or last year for the same week, and I think the basis really showed that up this year in this week's trade, especially if we keep the bird flu out of the conversation and we keep Chinese cancellations off the table. I think the old crop beans could do a lot for new crop next week.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Mike Zuzulo is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Join us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon.